that it needs fleshing out. It needs to be fleshed out far more. Discussion of translations and their constitutions and landing their legislations. The legislative ABC, the NBO, plus the Bank Association. So that is the start. We also felt raising the point of maintenance of equipment is good, but then talk about maintenance and replacement of equipment, world-class equipment. Subsidize both AM and FM, flexible distribution. We also welcome the assistance with regards to SAMRA. Research is definitely welcome. But it should be independent research funded by government, public, private, and sometimes donor agencies. We have an existing BRC, Broadcast Research Council, and we should look at how we can strengthen that and utilize it for the benefit of the sector. Is that covered for likes, guys?
And also, just the replacement of equipment maintenance.
Maintenance and replacement of equipment.
I'm sorry, was that point that they talk about maintenance and we want them to add?
And then we feel existing structures such as NDA and USASA should really get sorted and measured in terms of their deliverables.
I have in the powers of the minister and will be going right. The powers of the minister in that she's getting involved in lengths of contracts, royalties, local content, and copyright, where it's all of that is already included in our license agreements or agreements with SAMRA and that sort of thing. And then copyright is large. And then just to include for future for the subsidy of the DRM and DAB plus the signal distribution as well.
Subsidy for DA?
DRM.
Digital broadcast.
And DAB plus.
That's for digital broadcast.
For their signal distribution. To also assist, there's nothing in the act as far as helping self-providing community radio stations with transmission and the initial costs of setting up of transmissions. It is included, but it says that if funding is available, perhaps it should say that it should be done and not just if funding is available. Further clarity regarding the community of interest and geographic cooperation. Emphasis seems to be on support for Cuban geographical community
legislation.
Then the budget, I know that the TV people might not like it, but the budget allocation of TV versus radio, 7 to 30, but it's all about opening up the same amount of money being 70% to 30% with the portals 100%. And the timeline implementation, it doesn't say anything about where it's going to be implemented. And then the DOC wants to set up its own unit rather than strengthen the existing structures. And I think that this might be included about the government ad spend or industry ad spend on community level.
Government ad spend?
Ad spend and the in other words, the advertising industries ad spend on community.
What is the point? We don't
know. Well, there's, I think government to a certain extent say that it's not advertising on community radio stations. There's nothing that indicates that it should get up to parity as good as the number of people listen to the podcast.
Okay.
Right.
So, firstly, in terms of this split of frequently between radio and television.
Sorry, Mike, what are you starting with? Things you like and things you don't like?
You didn't do it.
Oh, you didn't do that.
So we have to decide.
So you
have to tell me which side.
Okay, well,
I'll
tell you. So basically, the policy is just who gets what and why.
And the thing about.
Okay, then there's a problem with the number of radio stations being licensed. So because there's more and more community radio stations, radio will lose out because there's only a fixed amount of money which will be split between many radio stations and only a handful of TV stations. So there's a suggestion that perhaps there should be a moratorium on the issuing of community radio licenses. Okay, then a question of the definition of community. So we thought that community, the idea of community should be more closely defined. Because within a geographic area there's many different people receiving the channel. And those people are very diverse in terms of things like language, etc. So should this idea of geographical communities be retained, or should there be some other definition of community that's used? Okay, the issue of community TV channels being on pay TV platforms, it said that being on DSTV enables channels to reach their community outside of geographical limitations. Being on a national pay TV platform enables channels to reach their community outside of geographical limitations.
Yes. So that's good. That is something new. That's positive.
The draft paper says that the government will only support community TV channels that are not on pay TV platforms.
So that's a negative.
Yeah.
That we don't want that.
However, on the other hand, but at the same time, the nature of the local community defines the channel operator. So SABC, in one of their submissions, raised the point that because community channels are now going out nationally on DSTV, that's likely to dilute their ability to focus on local community issues. Whereas it was argued that is what defines the station. So the station will continue to cater to local community issues, even though it's distributed nationally.
So this specific thing was about with particular example to one of the group members where the station has a particular community of interest, but because they're on a DSTV or multi-choice platform, they have a great and a wide audience, which has increased their viewership and their audience. That being said, though, it does become a bit contentious in light of this current content, like draft content support scheme, because what happens to stations like that? When they continue to receive funding, although they have got established brands and partnerships with channels like with entities like MultiChoice, and how can the SABC perhaps say that we won't fund you local content when the SABC does similar things with SABC Encore, SABC News, the 24-hour channels that are on the multi-choice platforms and are still funded. So how is it going to work, especially with like digital migration and that kind of stuff?
What you saying, the gentry? I'm sorry. The last bit about how it's all working, like digital migration and these new
So just also with regard to carriage on the pay channels, it was noted that this can be a problem because of government spend on content. So if government funds content, as is proposed in the policy, it will then be a problem if that content then becomes content for pay TV as opposed to content for free TV.
Yeah,
well,
I
So with regard to carriage on the pay TV channels, this can be a problem because of government spend on content. So the policy says that government will fund certain kinds of content, like documentaries and drama and that kind of thing. Now, if government is funding that content in the belief that it's going to be available to people on a free-to-air basis via community TV, and that content then goes on to a pay TV channel. The pay TV channel is actually making money out of that government content.
What's wrong with that? If I can ask tongue in cheek, that's exactly what the SABC is doing.
Yes.
I'll tell you what's wrong with that. We're using public funds, right, in order to finance a commercial enterprise. So our question is, where should government's commitment lie? And how should, in fulfilling this commitment, how should it derive maximum value out of that? And this is where the principle must carry, must pay.
If I could add tongue in cheek again, SABC, primary responsibility free to air, but some of the stations also on DSTV.
All of the stations,
which is secondary.
Yeah.
Wrong?
No, this is the debate that's kind of emerged. We've also heard it come from the SABC itself that actually we need to be reconsidering the mass carrier regulation because it was operating within a context where MultiChoice, through DSTV in particular, did not enjoy the same market dominance that it does right now. So the asymmetries that have emerged as a result of this, the shift in terms of the market dominance has resulted in a situation where we have to now review the utility of the mass carrier regulations as they are currently formulated.
And what is SABC's viewpoint on
that? The SABC's viewpoint is that there needs to be a must carry, must pay principle. So this is the basis on which they justify the commercial arrangement around SABC News and SABC On Call. But that is, that then becomes really an ad hoc addition to over and above what the must carry regulations have to say about public content, really. So so there is a must carry, must pay. There is a must carry regulation. If the SABC was in a position to launch and carry and broadcast those channels on its own on the free to air platform, then those would be subsumed into DSTV by default on the basis of must carry, right? So the issue here is that we now have to reconsider whether it's of any benefit to the broader broadcasting sector, and in particular the public benefit broadcasting sector, to have an arrangement like that, whereby a commercial enterprise that enjoys significant market dominance is able to then exploit the benefit that comes with the audiences which are tied to the SABC. So you can look at any of any month's SART ratings, for instance. But in the top 10, at least, I can put my neck on the line for this one, at least 6 out of the top 10 will be SABC shows.
Yes,
that's just simply how it is. So the question is, what is the SABC or community broadcasters which are carried on the pay TV platform benefiting out of that beyond the reach that they might be getting? Are out of being on this platform because it has the national range in terms of coverage.
Okay. Just to add, I mean, radio in particular, when I was in the Northern Cape, they just see this as, well, we can extend our reach, and therefore it means, well, if we extend our reach, we can get more advertising.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of excitement
on that level, but when I was talking to Robert at lunchtime, he was saying it's not as simple as that. And it's one of those wishful thinking things where we think it's a simple case and it isn't. But I think, yeah, it's definitely a push where people are saying there's potential here for that. Sorry, Mike.
Okay, next point. Policy must make it simple to apply for funding. If you have a multiplicity of funding organizations, it complicates things. So the DOC should provide the funds and the NDDA administers their disbursement.
Josh's presentation was discussed with my colleagues. I work in the radio. Yeah, that's a wonderful Francis. That he's my lecturer for radio. Yeah, I used to be there for the radio where I worked in the institute. He's with the Radio Academy now, so he trains us.
Be able to
so everything I know radio-wise, I learned from Frogs. Yeah, but there's more information you need that you should give us. GCIS is not spending enough on community media, and the 30% of government ad spend, which is supposed to be going to community media, is not actually doing so.
30%.
30%.
Of a centralized, I don't know, it's supposed to be indicated, but not here, but one station was a centralized agency where the GCIS money, all of that would go and would be supposedly a nice spot of millions of advertising money. But I don't know, it's a really centralized platform because of the transition through the NDDA that may not have happened. So I don't know that.
Isn't that the function of the GCIS?
Yeah.
To act as a central.
DOC should facilitate engagement between the community broadcast sector and state entities and parastatals, for example, Tonga.
And in fact, the PICFA recommendations did say that before they draft any policies or plans, they should consult the stakeholders prior to doing that. Okay. That is.